Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty B. Detley.
And I'm Shad Youngblood.
And this week, we decided to cover Hell Night.
Pray for day. Hell Night. Hell Night. Linda Blair in Hell Night from Compass International, rated R.
About a month ago here in the Sunshine State, say that like six times.
No thanks.
School started. So we wanted to cover some back to school flicks for the last 3 weeks of September before we get into October. And what better to start off than 1981's Hell Night with Linda Blair?
Yes. And Peter Barton, who doesn't get a lot of billing in this, but I like him.
And Peter Barton. Crickets.
Who was in Friday the 13th, Part 4, I believe. And he was in one of my favorite shows as a kid, The Powers of Matthew Starr, which is essentially I Am Number 4. So I'm pretty sure they ripped that off.
Yes, well, let's just blame it on a novelist.
Yeah.
So Hell Night is, I mean, I was never in a sorority. You were not in a fraternity, right?
No, I had a personality already.
Okay. But Hell Night is like a hazing fraternity sorority kind of thing, right? Where they make the co-eds, you know, do something crazy where they have to stay. There's another movie, one of my other favorite movies, the Mausoleum one, Night at the... at night, where they have to like stay
one
over.
Dark night.
One Dark Night. Yeah, it's like I'm like, oh, it's one of my favorite movies, but I can't remember the fucking name.
You always call it Mausoleum.
I know, because it should be called Mausoleum, even though we covered Mausoleum.
Yeah.
But it's set in a mausoleum, so it's like, what better to call it? And Tabby agrees with me.
Yeah, we have a guest commentator this week.
So here we have these. You know, the movie opens up with just a kick-ass fucking party. Like, it's like a party in the streets.
Yeah, this is the old school 80s party. Back when there was, this was pre-AIDS. There was no worry about getting any diseases or anything. You could just be drinking and fucking in the streets all night. And there was no repercussions.
Yeah, it was a crazy time. The opening to this film is so alive. It's so fun. It's so set in a certain period, like you just said. It really makes you feel like, you know, the night is young and we're going to be rambunctious and we have a lot of, you know, crazy wild times ahead of us. And little did they know that they had all of those things wrapped up into one.
Yeah. I like how they all, like, take this, they go, like, you know, they announce it's Hell Night. All you pledges come here. And the pledges are Linda Blair, Peter Barton, and two people we've never heard of before.
Two people we've never heard of before.
Which is weird that there's only like four pledges for the whole fraternity and sorority thing.
Yeah, there's only four, but in the like group of people, there's like 300.
Yeah, so they only pledge four people a year? That's kind of odd.
It's a very selective sorority / fraternity, and I think that there's only like one of each on the campus. It's not like we're, you know, campus usually will have more than just one of each. So this is probably like a small town kind of thing. So these four college students, you know, they get their hazing in the film, and which kind of you pointed out that is produced by Frank Darabont.
Yeah, he's one of the production assistants, Frank Darabont. Like in the credits we're watching and going, oh, Frank Darabont worked on this back when he was just probably bringing coffee and running around doing crazy, you know, flunky stuff.
And did Chuck Russell direct this movie or did he executive produce the
movie? He was a producer.
Okay, so he also, which, if you don't know, he did The Blob, the remake of The Blob, and Dream Warriors.
Yeah, he's one of our favorite people and a super nice guy. We met him at the Popcorn Frights last year and he was so cool about everything. It was amazing.
Yeah, he was major cool.
I love that he brought his son, who had never seen The Blob before. He brought his son to watch it for the first time in a theater.
Yeah, that was actually really neat. And I'm like, how do you grow up so detached from, like, that film? Like it, it's your dad that did it. And what I know, like, a lot of, like, directors and people just in the business, they don't like to, like, look at their stuff after it's done. And because they were in it for a really long time.
And you may seem weird to be like, hey, here's this movie I made. I want you to watch it and tell me what you think of it. And they just start looking at him like, oh, no, I don't want to have to do this.
No, I wouldn't even... That wouldn't even be a scenario. If I was the kid, I would be, like, rummaging through, like, the boxes they're trying to hide and shit and find, like, the treasures. So I could be, like, the cool kid that's like, hey, look at this thing my dad did. Like, you know, all these people love it. Like, I would be nosy as fuck and want to watch the movies. Yeah. I wouldn't even tell them. I would just steal them and then go in my room, lock the door, make some popcorn. Lock the door, not in that order, and watch the film. But yeah, so I mean, I guess those were my fantasies about that whole scenario. So they have to go to this house, and it's Garf Manor. And just like in classic form, there's obviously going to be history, and the history has to be told by somebody.
Yeah.
And that somebody is going to be the president of the fraternity.
And he's wearing, like, a strange, like, is it a superhero? Is it Flash Gordon? I can't tell. It's kind of a weird sci-fi superhero. It looks a little like the Greatest American Hero outfit, but with a blue cape.
I thought at first he was, like a Three Musketeer, but then the belt kind of, like, threw it off. So maybe he's, like, a Space Musketeer? I don't know what was going on with the outfit either. Oh, yes. They really don't touch upon why everyone is actually wearing a costume, which I really don't give a fuck about because that actually really...
I just assumed it was Halloween.
Yeah, why did you assume that?
Everybody was in costume.
Yeah, but I thought it was like a theme thing, like we're going to go to like the Haunted Mansion and it's going to be like a Haunted Mansion costume
thing. I just assumed
thing.
It was around Halloween because usually the schools start up, like you said, in August, September... Everybody's had a few weeks to pledge. By that time, it's Halloween. And what better time to do a Hell Night hazing than Halloween?
Okay. Well, maybe. I don't know. I've never even thought about that it was on Halloween. And I've seen this movie like a plethora of times.
Well, see, I have not. So I just think this is the first time I've ever seen the whole thing. I think I'd seen a piece of it here and there, like on cable. But I never sat down and watched the whole thing before.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention. We popped your cherry on this one. Hell Night Virgin.
That's right.
Woo-hoo. So, do you feel that your cherry got properly popped, or are you not?
Oh, yeah, I think there's only one way to do it. So, yeah, I think it happened. But, yeah, it was interesting because, like I said, I didn't realize some of the people that were in it. Like I said, I like that Peter Barton. And I knew Linda Blair was in it, but I always thought she kind of had, like, a smaller part for some reason. I might have confused this with another movie that, you know, sometimes you watched all those movies in the video store or you looked at them and you got them confused. So I remember seeing this on the shelf, but I don't think I actually ever rented it.
Linda Blair actually got a Razzie Award nomination for this film.
I don't think she was bad. I mean, it's a standard slasher movie. Everybody's kind of...
It is really fucked up that they would do that because I want to see what other movies came out. Like, who were her contenders? Obviously, she was nominated. She didn't win. So there must have been someone even worse than her. But I think that was an unfair judgment too, because it's a fucking horror movie. I mean, it's not an Oscar award winning performance. Every time I hear anyone say like, oh, that person didn't act really well. It's a horror movie. And compared to like really true indie films where like someone just whipped out with a camera, not Paranormal Activity style or Blair Witch style, but someone just whipped out like Joe Schmo and he's like filming it. You know, those like weird ones they have on like Amazon Prime.
Oh, like Muckman. We'll throw a little shout out to our friends over at Customers Also Watch there, because from the description of that movie and the like 2 minutes I watched on Amazon, I'd rather have a nail under my toenail than watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know how you watch that. Customers Always Watched. That's more power to you, because I would not have been able. I feel like a lot of drinking had to have been involved at some point.
But yeah, that movie, no. So that's the kind of thing that when you talk about like, hey, Linda Blair was terrible in this movie. No, she wasn't. She was fine. Was she going to win an Academy Award? No. Was anyone in the movie going to win an Academy Award? No. But they were all fine for this movie.
Yeah, compared to that fucking lady or anyone from another movie we did like a couple of, like last month, Eric, what was the name of that movie?
Oh, yeah.
The forgettable movie. That was
the movie we've already forgotten.
The Freddy Krueger ripoff.
The Slayer.
Movie. The Slayer. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was not good at all.
Hot garbage. Beep, beep, beep. That's a truck picking up the fucking hot garbage that is that movie.
Yeah. But no, Hell Night was pretty good. Of course, you know, they, like you said, they give him the speech going up to the mansion of, ooh, here's all the crazy things that happened at this mansion 12 years ago tonight. That's why I assumed it was Halloween, too, was because, you know, Halloween's a good time for you to, you know, off your whole family, as we have seen in a few movies in the past.
Yeah, so Raymond Garf murdered his family and committed suicide, and you find out that...
But he left one son alive.
He left one son alive, yes, because that one son wasn't a deformed deformity of deformation that was the other children that the wife bore. She was a simple woman, but she knew how to bear children. I think that was like the line.
Yeah, that was the line.
The president fucking said.
But then she couldn't even do that well.
You know, exactly. That's exactly what he said. And because they all had severe defects, and they used some terms I will not use. Because they are not PC terms. Not that I care about that too much, but, you know, just things that should not be.
They gave zero fucks back in the 80s. They just said whatever.
Yeah, and, you know, those kids, you know, he went and he murdered them all. And so he's telling the story as they're walking up to the house. This is actually after they drove with his Corvette, bitches hanging off the fucking side, like...
That's the part, I love the fact that when the Corvette drives away in a few seconds after they finish the story, the girl's sitting on the hood of the car laughing, and as she drives away, you can see she's clearly holding on to a big suction cup on the hood. Like, that's not standard equipment for a Corvette. They had to just, you know, they were like, it's fine, just stand up on this suction cup.
Yeah, they totally did that. I didn't notice that. I've watched the movie so many times and I never noticed that. But Chad caught it right off and I was like, holy shit. But there's no other way they could have made that scene work because you have all these people, like all these girls sitting on the hoods of these cars as they're going up to the house like fucking Frankenstein style with like torches. They're literally carrying torches.
Why the hell are they bringing torches? Like it's 1981. Flashlights exist. They can go ahead and bring a flashlight.
No, it added to like the costumier. His fucking cape is flapping in the wind. You got a fucking big busted chested girl like sitting on the hood of your Corvette holding a torch. That shit is like fucking hot as hell.
But let me tell you, anybody I've ever known that owned a Corvette or anything like that, no one would be sitting on the hood of it. They're like, are you kidding? You'll scratch that shit up and dent it with your ass. Get off of my car.
This is true. That definitely would not be happening. So these four people have to stay in the manor for 6 hours.
Until dawn.
And they don't know, but the head of the president of the fraternity and two of his friends actually go back to the manor. And they booby trap the manor beforehand, yep. And they're doing all kinds of pranks to the people.
Scooby-Doo style.
You know, yeah, big time Scooby-Doo style. In the manor to try to, like, get the kids, you know, scared and whatnot. Because it's about who's going to survive the night, you know. And I have to say that they did a really good job with not showing you who the killer is. For a good while in the movie, there was a lot of hands jumping out and like grabbing the people. And as the film progressed, slowly the killer starts emerging from the shadows. There's a lot of shadow play in the film. And I'm not talking about the whole like they're gonna have sex part.
Yeah, that's it. We'll get to that.
But there's a lot of shadow play in the film, and they cleverly like start shedding light. Like slowly through the movie to like reveal finally who the killer is.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you may or may not know who the killer is from watching the movie. I mean, we could give it away, but there's just no need to give it away. But it's.
Yeah, there's a kind of a. I was kind of a surprise. There's a little bit of a twist at the end.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a twist. And, you know, it's actually the rejected fraternity person that didn't make it. You don't see her. She's actually in the crowd in the beginning of the movie, you know, and that you don't see her.
No, you're lying.
So that's actually what happens.
No, you're lying. Yeah, I love how it's such you talked about it being of the time in the 80s. I love how they have the girl just keep constantly making sexual innuendos to the one guy. Like, hey, you can keep me warm. Hey, want to come up and warm me up? Then as soon as they get up there and hop into bed, he's like, all right, let's have sex now. She's like, no, let's slow this down. Let's talk.
What's your sign? Do you like long walks on the beach? And he's like, you riled me up and got me up here, and then you want to talk? Like, baby, what's up?
Yeah, it was hilarious. She's just like, oh, yeah, okay, well, let's just talk some more. Oh, I see how this is going to go. Then they have the great scene where it's like you're seeing the shadows on the wall move around of them, and you're like, are they having sex? Because it's a very, very slow, very not very motion. There's not a lot of motion in this sex.
It was titillizing. She was foreign, so I don't know. Maybe that's, you know, why she was...
She's English, so maybe it's very reserved. It was like, ugh.
Exactly. It's a Jane Austen, like, sexual experience where you want to, like, talk a lot, maybe have some tea and crumpets, and then...
There's a slight bit of penetration, and then it's over.
Something like that.
Yeah. Then you got Linda Blair and Peter Barton. They're in there sleeping in the Brady Bunch, Dick Van Dyke style beds where they're like separated, but like a huge like table in between them. They're like, oh, we'll just go to bed in our separate twin beds now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's like a cup and string between them. That's how they're communicating.
Yeah. But then I love how they're like, she's like, no. He comes over, like starts trying to put the moves, and she's like, nah, let's not do that. We're just going to go to sleep. After 5 minutes, she's like, yeah, this is really boring. Let's do it.
They don't do it that we know of.
They started making out.
Yeah, they did make out, but I don't think they did it. And you know, it's another, there were so many, there's a lot of corny things in the film. The kills are great though. All the kills are great. I really enjoyed, you know, how a lot of the people died. And I know I shouldn't, it's terrible, but it just a lot of it looks so
how the people died.
It's a horror movie that's supposed to be like one of the pluses, isn't it? Are you supposed to be like, no, don't die, I don't want to see you? I just love
how you say that, like, oh, I'm so happy with the way they died.
You know, it just looks so real. Like, it looked good on film. Like, yeah. It didn't look like when someone gets their neck snapped. Spoiler alert. And it just looked real. I'm like, oh my gosh, that just looks spot on. Like, the camera didn't do like shadow play where the camera just like went off screen and then you saw a shadow of him getting, you know, his head twisted around.
Yeah.
They showed it right then and there.
The only shadow play was the shadow sex play.
Yeah, the shadow sex play, which maybe there were like puppets and marionettes. The actors didn't really want to be on top of one another, so they had to get like life-size marionettes to...
It could be.
Do it. That actually might be a thing, actually. But if it was Linda Blair, it was definitely a thing. But she didn't have any sex scenes in this. And I have to tell you guys, you may or may not have listened to our podcast before, but I'm going to let you know there were no boobs in this film.
It was very disappointing.
There's a lot of heaving cleavage and a lot of jiggles, but there is no actual scene of bare-breasted ladies.
Yeah, that's kind of a disappointment. I feel like as an 80s movie, it really let me down.
In more ways than one, I guess. What?
Okay.
So yeah, there's no titillizing views, pun intended, in the film. But there are a lot of flapping capes.
Yeah, lots of flapping capes, lots of flapping dresses.
How many times do we see someone running? There's a lot of running in the film. Obviously, you're running away from the killer. But there's something else when you're running away with, like, a pirate shirt and, like, you know, the arms are, like, flapping around. And these are the men, guys. These are the men wearing these outfits, not the women. The women, one of them is, like, was she a flapper? I don't know. I don't remember what she was wearing.
Yeah, she was wearing a flapper dress, yeah.
And then you have, like, the other one wearing, like, colonial wear.
This is a little bit of a spoiler, so... If you don't want to hear it, if you haven't seen the movie or don't want to be spoiled, skip ahead a few minutes here. I love the scene where one of the characters escapes from the mansion and goes to get help. He goes to the police. They don't believe him because it's frat night. Yeah. No. Yeah. There's murders at the place. Psh, who cares? we're just going to put you in jail if you don't stop this shit.
Well, that's because everybody and their mama probably was playing pranks and saying, like, oh, go to Garth Manor, go to Garth Manor, because that's what the president wanted. He wanted to cause a ruckus in the town and, you know, make everyone know that it's fucking Hell Night. And there was no way that all those college kids were going to go against, like, you know, the 10 cops they have in the whole town.
Yeah, but I love how that's, like, when he can't get him to go out, he's leaving. And as he walks, like, he's leaving, like, the lobby where they you would file your complaint with the police or whatever. There's an open doorway just sitting open with a table full of guns just laying on it.
Shotguns,
handguns, rifles. He goes in, looks around. Oh, there's no bullets for this pistol. Well, I'll just take this shotgun and this box of shells that they left here. He loads it up, crawls out a window in the police station, and then goes running through the town with a shotgun till he finds, like, someone in a car, points it at him. This is the part I really love. He points the shotgun in the guy's face and goes, "Get out." The guy looks at him and goes, "What do you want?" Dude, he wants you to get the fuck out of the car. That's why he put the shotgun in your face and said, "Get out."
Yeah, that scene where he, like, sees the fucking guns on the table, you're like, what? First of all, why is there a fucking, like, door ajar with, like, a room full of guns? And then I thought, like, hey, I feel like I've been in this scenario before. Oh, yeah, I have. In Resident Evil as Leon. Yeah. Like, you walk into the fucking room, and there's, like, everything you fucking need. And then, you know, don't forget to save on the typewriter before you leave, because you may fucking end up dying as soon as you leave the fucking station. And he just jumps out the window, which is, like, one story.
Yeah, which, I don't, this is a police station where you go in and then you go down to get to the desk. I didn't understand that, but whatever. But I just love how there's just an unlocked door with a room full of guns on it. Like, it's so 80s. I'm like, no one will probably do anything. There won't be any mass shootings or anything. We don't have to worry about that. We're the police station. No one would do that here.
Yeah, for real. That person got fired. I'm just going to let you know.
When the night's over, they're like, well, where did he get this gun? He took it out of the police station from an unlocked room. It was already been used in 6 murders this week because of reasons. And, yeah, now it's in a few more.
...
Yeah, so, yeah, people are losing their jobs for sure on that one.
I give the film 3 knives.
Yeah, I'd say it's a good 3 knifer.
Yeah, I was going to say 2.5 knives, but last episode we gave the new It Chapter 2 2.5 knives. And I actually like this film more than that other film. So I'm going to give this one 3 knives, just in spite of it. And also, I feel like the kills, you know, are a heck of a lot better. And, you know, there's story and there's stuff going on. Some people might watch this film and be like, this is the worst film I've ever seen. But, you know, what's your favorite movie? 31? Like, I don't know. But, anywho, we chose this film for our back to school selection. And that's it. That's all we got. You got anything to back to school?
No.
Stay tuned for Ring-a-Ding-Ding. Insert, like, you know, ending bell. Do they even have those anymore? Oh, shit. It just fucking occurred to me. Maybe they don't have that in school where, like, the bell, like, rings and then you know that this class is over.
I think they still have that.
I don't know. Someone let us know if you're still in school and you're listening to this podcast. By the way, you're super cool if you're really young and listening to this podcast because you're, you know, super dope. That they probably don't say that anymore. I'm probably way dating myself. But, yeah, this is our selection for the Hell Night. And, as Shad fucking said, this may be a Halloween movie. I don't know. You just blew my motherfucking mind with that one. This may be an added Halloween film now for us.
Yep.
Because the people are running around in costume. Never occurred to me. I just thought, hey, it's a themed night. Like, you know, it's themed. We're going to go out to the mansion and we're dressed like, because they all kind of were dressed like kind of like the same. There wasn't someone dressed like a sailor. There was no sailor in the film, by the way.
There was a caveman.
There was a caveman. Maybe it was a period piece. That's a period in history. Could be. But thank you so much, guys, and stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.